May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. We are celebrating Palm Sunday today. This is the start of the holiest week of the year, one that connotes very strong and conflicting emotions. It begins with Jesus' entry into Jerusalem to the cheers of expectant, hopeful people. We then move through the week of unspeakable traumas and acts of grace. Next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection, the defining event of Christianity. We are standing on the threshold, about to once again be reminded of and celebrate our Creator's hope for us. The way, the Jesus movement, a God we know as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. This morning I am focusing on today's epistle reading from Philippians. For the purists attending today, you might note that we have modified this reading by adding four verses preceding and two following the assigned text. Please listen as I read these first four verses again, this time from Eugene Peterson's The Message Bible. If you have gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forgetting yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians in approximately 62 of the Current Era, while he was under house arrest in Rome. Paul had founded his church in Philippi 10 years earlier. The church in Philippi was dealing with internal strife. The Christian Philippians were trying to survive in a hostile society. Paul had just been released from prison, and during that time, members of the Philippian church sent gifts of support. This epistle was written to express his gratitude, love, and guidance. It has been characterized as joyful, with Paul celebrating the joy found in giving, believing, suffering, and service. The New RSV Green Bible entitles these four verses, Walking the Road Together. They articulate the beloved community and the role of followers of Jesus in the world. Philippi was founded 400 years earlier and renamed in honor of Peter the Great's father, Philip. After the Roman conquest, it evolved into an important Roman imperial city. Retired Roman soldiers settled in the city, and the city was governed by the city of Rome. The citizens of Philippi tended to be very proud of their status in the empire, celebrating and worshiping in temples dedicated to Caesar and living as true disciples of the ideology of Pax Romana. This was a brutal ideology of imperial hegemony and subjugation in which dissent and difference were not well tolerated. Many of you know that I am a vocational deacon, but I believe some may not fully understand this clerical order. You may have come to grace from other traditions or have not belonged to a community that included deacons. Deacons are non-stipendiary. We report directly to the bishop while being supervised by our priest. We swear an oath of allegiance to the bishop and the church. We undergo a 3 to 4 year curriculum of directed discernment, seminary classes, and an internship before ordination. For me, verse 4 of the epistle is an entry point into discussing the call of the diaconate. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand from the Message Bible. Or let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others, from the new RSVP, B, speaks to the role of the deacon. This verse speaks to all of us, as all are called to the diaconal role, even if not ordained. Paul's letter is addressed to the church community, and his call is for the listeners to serve outside their faith community. This is an aspect of the diaconal call, a call to which I have sworn an allegiance. It is a call heard by many in this room. First, a bit of a history lesson. Who was the first deacon? Stephen. In the book of Acts, we read of Stephen, the first deacon, in a role created in the midst of conflict to allow for the equitable distribution of food to the others of the early Christian community in Jerusalem. These others being Greek Christians. This is also the same Stephen who was stoned to death for speaking truth to power. Stephen modeled four aspects of vocational deacon: serving the community, seeking justice for those in need, speaking truth to power, speaking with a prophetic voice. Another quiz question. Who is arguably the most famous vocational deacon, and ironically, is rarely thought of as a deacon? Clue. What's the name of the current pope? Francis. Saint Francis was an ordained deacon and never a priest. Surprised? If you consider even the superficial aspects of his ministry, it should be intuitive. The Episcopal Church defines the role of deacons as being a link between the church and the world. Deacons discern the people's needs, hopes, and concerns, and empower faith communities to respond. As deacons, we are called to do as Francis, bringing the church to the world and the world to the church. Francis built a beloved community. He was a peacemaker. He was a man who elevated the status of women and one who challenged the status quo in both the world and especially the church. He spoke with a prophetic voice. Deacon Suzanne Wetzing Epping calls for the prophetic voice to articulate clear alternatives, to articulate God's vision in the midst of a groaning creation. When I was ordained, Bishop Smith, to whom I reported, gave us the charge to be a holy pain in the, I won't fill it in. Others have referred to us as creators of holy trouble. Francis exemplified that statement. The word deacon comes from the Greek diakonos, meaning an intermediary who acted or spoke for a superior. Deacons are called to servant leadership and to be, to the best of our ability, an outward and visible sign of Christ's presence in the world. As stated by the Diocese of Washington, D.C., deacons are to discern the needs of the world, speak the needs of the world to the church, help the laity identify their own calls to mission and ministry, facilitate the establishment of ministries in the world, insist bishops and priests in the liturgy. Deacons are to assist and empower those who serve at the table. Specific functions for the deacon include setting the table, reading the gospel, and the dismissal. Traditionally, but less frequently these days, the deacon also leads the prayers of the people and introduces the confession. An important aspect of the diaconate is that there is no specific job description other than that I have already outlined. And, as we all know, the critically important clause, duties as assigned. An aspect of the diaconal call is to continually discern one's gift in a changing world and imply them. We are called to listen for that still small voice, to listen for and to the Holy Spirit, and act. Within this diocese, we have deacons working with the homeless, the poor, and immigrants. Chaplains on the Harbor, which we at Grace support, was created by a transitional deacon, Sarah Monroe, and today is run by a vocational deacon, Barbara Weasel. The movie Camp Second Chance, to be presented here on April 16th, includes Deacon Jeffrey Boyce, who is the Diocese of Olympia's minister to the unhoused, on the panel of experts. Deacons work as hospital chaplains, college chaplains, as organizers and advocates for justice. We work with a cross-section of faith communities, wisdom communities, and non-religious. We serve all God's creation. Deacons serve and represent our faith community on nonprofit boards, interface with the police over immigration issues, as well as being chaplains for fire and police departments. We lobby at local, state, and federal levels for reforms and programs to benefit the poor and the disenfranchised. Kathy and I were in D.C. a couple weeks ago lobbying for bills dealing with our shockingly high maternal mortality rate and growing obstetrical deserts. We happen to live in one of those at the moment, Kitsap County. I was wearing my clerical collar and was not terribly surprised to find a deacon colleague I know wearing his collar lobbying on climate issues. His shirt, however, was way cooler than mine, being an iridescent green, and I was just in black. I have been a deacon for nearly 12 years and have served in a variety of roles. In this diocese, I served on the Bishop Search Committee and am a member of the Commission on Ministry. For the Province 8 of the Episcopal Church, I'm a co-chair of the Anti-Racism Committee. I'm also still working in the Diocese of Arizona, where I serve on the Anti-Racism Committee and am a facilitator for anti-racism training. I co-teach classes in the Deacon Formation Academy on anti-racism and advocacy. One of the blessings for me attending Grace is knowing that the biblical concept of diakonia is commonly defined as service, is part of our core. Those advocating on environmental issues bring the world to the church and the church to the world. The same can be said for those working in the Gifts of Dirt Garden project, growing food to be given to the helpline. Our mission and outreach team is leading us in diakonia. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Our shared diaconal voice calls us to an active presence in the world. It calls for us as a community and individually to give our time, talent, and resources. It calls us in deep relationship with the world and the building of beloved community. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to serve, not to be served. Form within us your generous spirit. Fill us with your love that we may love the Father as you love him. Fill us with your compassion that we may see our brothers and sisters as you see them. Fill us with your courage that we may give our lives in service to the church as you gave your life for her. Fill us with that spirit which will make us preachers of your word, ministers of your sacrifice, servants of your bride, friends to the poor and the voice of the forgotten. Transform us through your Holy Spirit so that we may transform the world into your kingdom of justice and peace. Amen.